What's going on, everybody? It's Slay Diddy, a.k.a. Professor Slay, a.k.a. Mr. WGXC, and you are listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. Listen in, y'all.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to WGXC.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more, plus advance notice of close-up series conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Saugerties, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org. That's upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Timothy Simmons of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Congress, in its wisdom, has prohibited pirate operators, that is, people who operate without licenses, from ever owning a low-power station. On the other hand, that same pirate could own, for example, WCBS-TV in New York City.
You can be who you wanna be. You can be who you wanna be.
Went from China, paid a rent. Used to pen a man and made a dent. Yeah, time and again, make a good top ten. Not a politician and not you. And when I meet face to face, yeah, don't be late. I'm just talking on the phone, yeah, I'm not gonna wait. When you get to tell me, you better locate. If it's taking up my time, then you're beep beep. No limit, I'm trying to feel it. Every time I see it, well, I'm gonna break through it. Got to just be it, be happy and do it. No one can stop it, if they want it, they can try it. Next gen transcend, women and men. Bring a noise, make it count, yeah, do it again. Never stop, never give up, and don't pretend. Tell a friend all the rules you're gonna bend. I try to tell you all what will happen to you. I try to make you see, I was telling the truth. I was trying to be everything you want me to be. I can't please everyone, I'ma let it be, be, be. No limit, I'm trying to feel it. Every time I see it, well, I'm gonna break through it. Get the juice, be it, be happy and do it. No one can stop it, if they want it, they can try it. If I end up somewhere bad, then I'ma move through it. When I break through it, you can all feel it. All the things I said, yeah, you can all see it. No matter who you are, I'ma try to free it. Beep, beep, yeah, I'm trying to come through.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Jada, and I'm still homeschooled. It's going pretty great, and I'm from New York City.
And we're here every week talking about books, books we love, books we hate, and bookish things. And that's what we'll do today. We're often joined by our friends Adelia or Fatia, and sometimes Georgia or Claire. Today, it's me and Jada, the Jada and Emily Show. So we're going to talk about some books. Can you get us started today, Jada? What did you want to talk about?
I was reading The Last Unicorn by Peter F. Gable. I read it a few times. It's a really good book. And it's about this unicorn who is first, you know, living in a forest and is all that magical, never-aging unicorn goodness. And then two hunters come over and then they start talking about how there's, like, no more unicorns. And then the unicorn goes off on an adventure and gets captured by this witch who runs, like, some circus freak show, whatever, about creatures that she pretends that they're bigger creatures than they actually are. So she uses her little magic to, you know, kind of bend what everyone else sees. And then she escapes, the unicorn escapes from there with a magician who's not very good at doing magic. He's not, and then they meet other people along the way. But so what the unicorn's main focus is to find, like, the rest of the unicorns. And then she also found out from the hunters to find also the Red Bull, because they're going to lead them to the Arathrum unicorn. So yeah, it's pretty much a lot of the story. And then they meet other people along the way, and then they go to where the Red Bull is, and, you know, all this stuff happens that I can't tell you. So yeah, it's a good book.
Sounds like quite the adventure. In this book, since there's a unicorn and there's also other creatures, human or otherwise, is the unicorn able to communicate, like, verbally with the, like, with the magician, or do they just have to communicate like animals and humans normally do, which is maybe verbally but not
verbally
fluently?
But later she's able to communicate through twists that I can't tell, because then it spoils like half of it.
Got it. I feel like there's fantasy books where the animals
talk with the magician, but she's not able to talk with one of the other people that they meet, because the magician has magic, but he can't use it, so magic. Not really helpful.
I know in a past show you had mentioned that you don't like surprise magic. Do you like magic that, as long as it's not like a poof, there's magic?
No, I mean, you can kind of tell it's about magic because it says the unicorn in the title.
Yeah. So. No, but that's what I mean. So is it that you... It's not that you don't like magic and fantasy in books, but you
like to know
in advance.
That's like my thing. I just don't like it when it's all of a sudden magic. It doesn't make sense.
Although maybe that's like a lot of people's origin stories of magic, is that they don't realize magic is in the world, and then all of a sudden they do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't mind that surprise magic, but I know that's a thing for you.
No, I mean, it depends on how you like work it into the story. Just not like subtle. Just if it happens like halfway through the story, it's heading towards the bad territory. But if it's more towards, you know, the beginning, towards the rising action part, you know, towards the beginning of that, then it's all right. Because if they don't start out thinking that anything's magical or whatever, I'm fine with that. But they can't just, you know, suddenly have magic halfway through.
That makes sense. That sounds like a cool book. I've never read that one, but I've obviously heard of it.
Yeah,
it's quite popular. Cool. Is it just a standalone book, or does it have a series? I can't remember.
I think it's a standalone. There might be sequels.
Can you remind our listeners the title and the author, in case they want to check it out?
The Last Unicorn by Peter S. Beagle.
Awesome. Folks can check that out. They're looking for a little fantasy adventure. I wanted to share a couple books coming out soon that I think sound exciting, that I think our listeners might be interested in. There's a few graphic novel, middle grade graphic novels coming out that I've got my eye on, either for myself or for other readers. So one is called Duel, and it's by Jessica Bagley, and Aaron Bagley is the illustrator. And I've read books by Jessica, but I don't think I've read any comics or middle grade books. I think I've only read picture books by them. But this is called Duel, and I'll read the description. Sixth grader Lucy loves fantasy novels and is brand new to middle school. Gigi is the undisputed queen bee of eighth grade, as well as everything else she does. They've only got one thing in common, fencing. Oh, and their sisters. They never got along super well, but ever since their dad died, it seems like they're always at each other's throats. When Gigi humiliates Lucy in the cafeteria on the first day of school, Lucy snaps and challenges Gigi to a duel with high sisterly stakes. If Gigi wins, Lucy promises to stay out of Gigi's way. If Lucy wins, Gigi will stop teasing Lucy for good. But after they're seen in the cafeteria, both girls are on thin ice with the principal and their mom. Lucy stopped practicing fencing after their fencer dad died and will have to get back to fighting form in secret or she'll be in big trouble. And Gigi must behave perfectly or risk getting kicked off the fencing team. As the clock ticks down to the girls' fencing bout, the anticipation grows. Their school is divided into Gigi and Lucy factions, complete with t-shirts declaring kids' allegiances. Both sisters are determined to triumph, but will winning the duel mean fracturing their family even further? Have to read to find out. I thought that sounded like a really interesting book, both as a person who shared a school setting with my sister, but also I remember when I first learned about fencing as a thing that people do, as like, I'm going to learn how to fence. And I never did, but I've always been fascinated by fencing. It's interesting. But yeah, it sounds fun. Duel by Jessica Bagley and Aaron Bagley. And I don't know if they're spouses or siblings. That'd be interesting if they were siblings and they wrote a book about sibling stuff together, but I don't know. I'll have to do some research on that one. But that is coming out November 7th, so just around the corner. So place your holds. Want to get in the list for that one. And another one that I want to share, it's a graphic novel adaptation of a middle grade novel. And I can't remember if Jada, if you were the one that talked about it on the radio show or if it was someone else, but somebody has talked about this book. So you have to let me know if it was you.
Yeah, there are only so many books in the world available to us.
Yeah. So this one is the first volume in the graphic novel adaptation of Escape from Mr. Limoncello's Library by Chris Gravenstein.
I think I've talked about it. I've read almost all the books in that.
Yeah, I was pretty sure you had. So they're making a graphic novel version. So he's the writer and Douglas Holgate is the illustrator. And I'll read the description for this and then you can add anything, any details you think people should know or why you would suggest they read it. When Kyle learns that the world's most famous game maker, Luigi Limoncello, has designed the town's new library and is having an invitation-only lock-in on opening night, he's determined to be there. But the tricky part isn't getting into the library, it's getting out. Because when morning comes, the doors stay locked. Kyle and the other kids must solve every clue and figure out every puzzle to find the hidden escape route. That's the very brief description. I've never read the series, but they sound really fun. And I'm sure when I was the age of the intended audience for this book, I would have loved it because, I don't know, it's just fun solving mysteries and figuring out clues. And just the idea of being locked in the library is pretty cool. There was a book when I was a kid that was popular, although I think it was published before I was born. But actually, I'll look that up. Actually, fun fact, it was released the year I was born. So you can figure out how old I am if you want. But there was a book that was...
You can't be older than 30. It's impossible.
Ha, good one. But it was popular when I was a kid. It's called Help, I'm a Prisoner in the Library.
That sounds like a good read.
And yeah, I actually started reading at one point and I didn't finish it. I need to do that at some point. But I think it's a very different book than Escape from Mr. Limoncello's Library. But similar locked in the library idea.
Yeah, another thing that this is great for is to get book recommendations.
So you really liked the Limoncello's Library series?
Yeah, there's other ones too, like The Origins of It, and then there's the movie about it.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. Yeah.
For the book series, so the first one, they're locked in a library. Are the other ones, are they also locked in a library, or are they locked in other
spaces?
Well,
it's locked in a library, and then when they become famous, they start participating, because part of it was like, you know, games, so then start participating in more games, and then there's more quizzes and tricks and stuff, and then they can become famous, and then they do all sorts of stuff like that.
Cool. Well, I might check out the comic since I haven't read the novels yet, and then I can decide if I want to read those after. But a couple other ones that are coming out this month that I think people will be excited about, I won't read the descriptions, but there's the next book in the Cardboard Kingdom series by Chad Sell is coming out also on November 7th. The first two books I talked about are both being released on the 7th as well. And then at the end of the month, November 28th, to be exact, the next Cat Kid Comic Club book is coming out. Book 5. I don't know if it has.
Leah will be very happy to hear that. She loves those books.
Nice. Yeah, it's called Cat Kid Comic Club Influencers. I have never read those. I realize I have also not read Dog Man, which is super popular. Need to check those out at some point. People love them. Can't get enough of them. So if you're one of those people that doesn't want to have to wait in line for a book, put your holds now so you can get first in line. So those are the upcoming releases I wanted to share today. I also have a poem to share, but before then, I wanted to talk about a challenge that I have, Jada. I feel like there are so many adaptations of books into movies or TV series happening right now.
There aren't even that many good ones. Like, Harry Potter was peak, and then everything else just went like, no. They're even literally making movies like out of Wattpad stories. I'm like, how does that even happen?
See, I feel like, I mean, maybe it's more so for me because I'm an adult, because there are so many adult novels that are being adapted now. But I feel like there have also been a number of YA and middle grade books or series being adapted. That was a hard word to say there. And it's hard to keep up because sometimes there'll be books on my to-read list and I don't get to them and I don't get to them, I don't get to them. And then I find out there's a show out or coming out. And it's like, do I decide to read the book now? Do I like read it so that I can watch the show? Do I just watch the show?
I personally like reading the books before I watch the shows because the shows have a tendency to chop off everything or just to change the ending. Because in the movie of Limoncello, they changed the ending. So I would have liked, I like to know the original before the movie.
Yeah, I feel like I'm always in this position where I have to decide, like, how much do I want to read the book versus, because I like to read the book before this. I don't like to read in reverse order. It's like book, then movie or show. I don't like to go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to watch the show before I read the book, I'm just basically committing to not reading the book unless it's like significantly changed. And then that might be different. Or if it was like a graphic novel, maybe I would, but I don't know.
Graphic novels are just like movies, but they're just the stills.
Yeah, it's like the storyboards before you make the film. But I definitely have a number of things that I've seen where there's shows coming out soon that are based on books that have been on my to read pile for years. Like, how can I read them before that date? And then sometimes it just means if I decide I want to read the book, it just means that I put off doing both for a long time. I don't know. It's a real struggle. Do you ever watch a movie and then read a book? Or do you always go the other direction? Yeah, I've had a couple. I just read Lessons in Chemistry, which is an adult book that's very popular that I've been on my to-read list. That one was not for years because it's a more recent release, but they just put out a series of that and I wanted to watch it. And it doesn't have a date yet, but 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia Marquez, which is another novel for adults, is being made into a series. I'm trying to read that really quickly. All the Light We Cannot See is coming out soon. I can just like look at my bookshelves and see like, oh, that one, that was made into a series that I haven't watched yet because I want to read it first. There's that one. They're everywhere. But I have had a couple where I've decided to watch first. And in some cases, I probably won't read the books. So I watched the Summer I Turned Pretty series. I watched those, that whole series. So I probably won't end up reading the books, although I like the author. I've read some of her other works by Jenny Han, who wrote that series. And I watched the adaptation of One Piece, the live action adaptation, and that was very good. And I don't know if I'll read the comics, but I guess I could also decide if I want to pick up where the show left off, although it's going to be continued. Who knows? And sometimes those things get changed so much, so that's where it's tricky. Like, some adaptations are very true to the original, and some, like, change up the storyline quite a bit, the characters. But anyways, listeners out there, maybe you can relate. It's a real challenge. But anyways, while I was chatting about all of that, Fatia joined us. Hi, Fatia.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Glad you're here. Did you have something you wanted to share today?
Yes. It's called The Estate Family.
The what?
The Estate Family.
And is this something you wrote?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I wrote it a few days ago.
Wonderful.
The first chapter is very short. It's like an introduction, it's like an intro. Once upon a time, there lived a family. The family had two brothers. whose names were Estate 1 and Estate 3. They were also two sisters whose names were Estate 4 and 5. Then there were the parents, Estate Queen and King. But something always felt off. They felt like there were missing a family member. A few days later, they decided to go to Florida. So while the siblings went to school, the mom and dad booked a hotel. And that's the end of chapter one. It's very short.
What inspired your story?
I got it from like a Roblox game. Like in it was like something called an estate. It was bigger than a mansion. So I was very interested in it. So I really wanted to like make something about it.
I always find it interesting where you get your ideas from and like then where it goes from there, from the point of inspiration to what it finally becomes. It's a good way to practice writing too, is like taking something as a starting point, like especially if it's a different medium, like if you took a painting as your starting point for inspiration and then you develop a story based on what you're seeing in the painting or what the painting makes you feel. I remember when I was probably younger than both of you, actually, I wanted to be a pop singer when I grew up. And I got some book that was talking about how to write songs. And one of the activities was to look at the products in your house and like see if any of them have, like just write down the names for all of the products or like the taglines on the products, like the words on the products. And see if anything inspires you to write a song. And I remember doing that activity and most of them were like really dumb sounding names, but occasionally there would be one that would inspire me to like write a song. None of them were very good probably, but you know, I was little. Anyways, thank you for sharing your work, Fatia.
You're welcome.
Have you been writing any stories or poems or anything lately, Jada? I know you occasionally write.
I have been, but there's I'm currently writing about 17 different ones.
How do you decide which one to work on from day to day?
There's
just whatever.
One where this prince is like doing royal competition for, you know, marriagey stuffy, because that's apparently what they do these days, you know. I don't know. Anyway, because, you know, much more efficient having a competition and instead of, you know, video chatting with people, but whatever. And so they just invited a bunch of princesses and stuff, and then this normal, you know, average citizen came in here and like, what the heck is all this? I signed up for this, you know, meet and greet thing. I didn't know this was gonna happen. Help, please get me out of here. So yeah, just gonna go off of that.
If you're writing like 17 different stories at once, do you find that you will like jump between them day to day, or do you
stories?
Yeah. Is it ever hard to keep track of your characters and storylines, or are they different enough that you can keep them separate?
Sorry, what did you say?
I was wondering if, so jumping between stories from day to day, do you ever have to remind yourself, like, which characters are in this story versus this story, or like, where are we at in this one?
What I do is I usually use the same names for all of them and then just workshop other names into them.
Oh, so, interesting. Yeah. Hmm.
So I have like placeholder names, and then if that doesn't work, I'll put in other names.
Cool. I like it. Always fun hearing writing from you all. We're almost out of time for today, but I think we have time for one poem. And I found a poem on poets.org by one of my favorite poets, Naomi Shihab Nye. And this poem is called Kindness. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things. Feel the future dissolve in a moment, like salt in a weakened broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved, all this must go so you know how desolate the landscape can be between the regions of kindness. How you ride and ride, thinking the bus will never stop. The passengers eating maize and chicken will stare out the window forever. Before you learn the tender gravity of kindness, you must travel where the Indian in a white poncho lies dead by the side of the road. You must see how this could be you, how he too was someone who journeyed through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak to it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore, only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to gaze at bread, only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, "It is I you have been looking for," and then goes with you everywhere like a shadow or a friend. That was Kindness by Naomi Shihab Nye. It's from Words Under the Word, Selected Poems. And she's a great poet. She doesn't exclusively write for young readers, but she does occasionally publish works for young readers. And should check some of her work out if you're interested. She both writes poetry and she also writes novels as well. I've read both from her and both have been great. We have a few of her works in the library. But on that note, we're going to sign off for today. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. We hope you have a great week with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then,
happy reading.
Bye.
What you gonna do when you get to the water?